Welcome back to this bi-weekly meeting of the Budget and Policy Committee of Denver City Council. Join us for the discussion as the Budget and Policy Committee starts now.
Good afternoon, everybody. Can everyone hear me?
Yes.
Is there an echo?
Yeah.
Producer? Oh, now. Okay, great. There's not an echo anymore. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining us at Budget and Policy on Monday, August 4th. My name is Amanda Sandoval. I have the honor of representing Northwest Denver District 1. Before we get started, let's go around the room for introductions, and then we can get into the proposal today. I'll start with my left.
Good afternoon. Diana Romero Campbell, Southeast Denver, District 4.
Good afternoon. Daryl Lawson, Fine, District 9.
Chris Hines, Denver's architect.
Chantel Lewis, District 8. Sarah Perry, one of your
members at large. Jamie Torres, West Denver, District 3.
Thank you. We have one proposal in front of us today. Councilmember Hines, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Madam President. I want to bring a couple advocates to the table. Will you come on down or come on up? First of all, I want to start off by thanking Andre for all the work that he's done on helping move this presentation forward. And before we get into the presentation itself, why don't we introduce yourself and then we'll go around the.
Sure. I appreciate that, Councilman. It's great to see it coming forward. It's been a long process. A lot of help from these two. I'm Andre. I'm the senior aide for Councilman Hines. Let them introduce themselves.
And I'm Roland Halpern, Executive Director for Colorado Voters for Animals. We're an all-volunteer organization representing about 45,000 people in Colorado that love animals.
Hello, I'm Amy Jesse. I'm the Puppy Mills Public Policy Director with Humane World for Animals. Recently changed our name from Humane Society of the United States, if that rings any bells.
And not to be confused with Humane Colorado, very recently known as the Dumfries League.
Right. We were both going through name changes and had no idea how similar they would be when they became public.
Super. Okay. So let's just go through the presentation. First of all, I think it's important to talk about what is this common term? What is a puppy mill? It is a, because we're talking about puppies, it is a dog breeding operation in which the health of the dogs is disregarded in order to maintain a low overhead and maximize profits. So that's an important definition for the policy that I'll be talking about today. Here is an example of an adoptable dog from the Denver Animal Shelter. Ooh. Is not here, but this is an example of a adult dog that the adoption fee is $75, and then the dog, I think this is, what is it called? We are animating someone who cannot speak for themselves. The dog is saying, I've been at the shelter since July 28th, 2025. So I think it's important to say that buying a pet from a pet store contributes to pet overpopulation and displaces a home for a local shelter animal in need. And this actually did come from our Denver Animal Shelter. The proposed legislation today is talking about eliminating the retail sale of three species, puppies, kittens, and rabbits. And in part because the breeding methods are inherently cruel. They're also, with inbreeding, there's often costly future medical expenses that I would say the person who's purchasing the puppy does not know of the future medical expenses that they will have. There's a bit of a knowledge disparity where the breeder knows that this is an animal that will have medical expenses and likely a shortened life. These pet stores that we don't have any of in Denver right now, but they use I would say predatory behavior to sell these dogs, cats, and rabbits, but they also use predatory lending schemes as well. And then there are public health issues as well as these are unhealthy dogs, and sometimes those health issues can be transmitted to humans. There is an opportunity for federal oversight. The U.S. Department of Agriculture does license dog dealers, but the oversight is minimal. I'll just, instead of reading the whole slide, there are easy ways to get around the oversight. And it's happening in Colorado. We have the unfortunate opportunity to quote an article that is less than 2 weeks old. Talks about some of those health issues or health concerns that I was talking about before, about missing limbs, parts of limbs, and just the inhumane way that these puppy mill, and in this case puppies, are being enclosed, and really it's just for a profit motive. These puppies, you know, when you want to invest in your best friend, many people are willing to spend some money to for that investment. $6,200 in this case, which you know, is a major purchase, and not everyone has $6,300 lying around to purchase your best friend. But this is your best friend nonetheless, and so you're willing to go into debt and for the opportunity to get this adorable puppy. But there are some of these pet shop sales folks that partner with lenders that I would say is predatory. That's obviously an opinion, but charging interest rates up to 36% is a lot, and that's capped. Before there were some additional regulation in some of the lending industries, it used to be quite a bit higher. But still, 36% is a lot. One other point in that slide, like any finance deal, if you don't make the payments, your puppy can be confiscated. And then also, that really, if the breeder knows that there are damaged, if their goods are damaged, they sure want to get these puppies out the door before those medical issues start becoming apparent. And so so they'll become less desirable to the customers. Also, there's a sense of urgency from the dealer to the retailer to have the puppy sold quickly. And I know that if the animal shelter were here or the Dumfriends League were here, they would say that they receive animals just dropped off in their locations. They believe that those puppies, sometimes those puppies and kitties were from disreputable breeders. As I mentioned, there are already health and health concerns and financial concerns. I think I've already talked about both of those. For what it's worth, there are no pet stores in the city and county of Denver that sell these kinds of puppies and kittens. As far as we know, no rabbits are also sold in the city and county of Denver. So basically, because there are no retailers now, we wouldn't have any consideration of lost jobs or revenue from small businesses. We've had that unfortunate concern and conversation in other things that we've considered here in council. Fortunately, we don't have to think about that with this potential legislation. I would say 8 states and more than 500 cities and townships nationwide, including 24 in Colorado, have already achieved what I'm proposing and hoping you support here in Denver. The Colorado cities and townships are here. So all the way back, Fountain in 2011, and then Colorado Voters for Animals and Humane World. Not Humane Colorado, actually probably Humane Colorado as well, have really started to get more engaged. And you could tell that with that additional engagement, there's been additional ordinances passed. Obviously, we'd be the largest municipality in Colorado to pass this, but it's because we are the largest municipality in Colorado. For what it's worth, this ordinance will not, one, prohibit responsible local breeders. It will also not prevent pet stores from having adoption events from rescue organizations or others. And it will not close the Denver market to the majority of pet stores who focus on pet products and services, which is a huge industry. You know, I've had dogs my whole life. I used to have a shirt that said, "Rescued is my favorite breed." Still believe that to be the case. Just a little bit about the Denver Animal Shelter. They've had a 44% increase in animal intake now. I think that's last year data, compared to pre-pandemic. And owner surrendered animals has surged 175% post versus pre-pandemic. And that's 24 data. So far in 2025, it's more than a 200% increase versus pre-pandemic. And that's the last slide. And that is the last slide. So I want to, with that data, I want to reiterate or bring back the purpose of this ordinance. The purpose of the ordinance, and this, I know that I've had briefings with many of you, is to prohibit the retail sale of dogs, cats, and rabbits that are unweaned or have health concerns. I would say there was a conversation about also having this ordinance include public spaces like parking lots and side of a road and whatnot. That part has been removed, and so this is just covering the retail sale inside a pet store. And that's, I was expecting that to take way longer, so I kind of rushed through. I apologize if I went too fast. I'm happy to answer any questions.
And I do have some handouts in case people want to read more later. I know it's a lot of information at once.
And Roland, do you have any, either of you, but start.
Well, I was going to say the reason that the parking lot sales and whatever was removed is because we recently passed, it actually becomes effective tomorrow, I believe, a statewide bill through the Colorado legislature that makes it illegal to sell dogs and cats and other any kind of pet in a parking lot, out of the back of a car, or whatever. We had a problem with people coming in from out of state claiming they were rescues and selling these animals, and then they would disappear, and if anything happened, you had no recourse. You didn't know who you bought it from. A lot of times, I'm sure you're probably heard about the story with that one organization, and two of the dogs had rabies and had to be put down. So that's not an issue because it's been addressed by the Colorado General Assembly.
Do you have any other thoughts or comments to add?
I mean, I think you did a great job of covering it. I'll reiterate that there are currently no puppy stores in Denver, which is a great reason to act if a store was to come and open. And we do know a big national chain has its eyes on this area. They bought the domain for Petland, Colorado. They're a super high volume puppy store. They would be importing thousands of puppies into the state to resell. They have just a horrendous record of consumer protection issues and animal welfare issues and the whole thing. So passing a preventative ordinance is ideal. I helped Fort Collins pass their ordinance and they had a store, and so that just really complicated things. They still passed it, but to do this now and it's preventative, and as you heard, 8 states ban the sale of puppies in pet stores statewide, and over 500 localities have done this. And so pet stores, some really bad actors, are looking for new places to call home and places that haven't taken action on this issue yet. So we feel that it is really important as a preventative ordinance, and why wait till you have a bunch of residents who, you know, have some of the horror stories you alluded to of being in a bunch of debt and caring for a sick puppy and all of that. So.
And I would add that according to the national statistics, Denver is number 2 in the country for dog friendliness. So if I wanted to open up shop, Denver's where I'd do it because, you know, we have everybody loves their dogs, and you know, nationwide we're known as like the number 2 city for dogs.
And there are stores in the Denver area, and but one of the handouts I have is a sampling of where some of the Denver area pet stores are getting puppies from. some of the photos are hard to look at, but they are public records. And then also a sampling of some of the consumer complaints, just to give you an idea of the sicknesses and what is going on. And there's a pet store in Centennial, and there's one in Thornton, and there's actually one with a Denver address, but is technically in Arapahoe County. So there are, you know, these puppy stores in the area.
Yes.
And I have plenty more if anyone wants more than one, but I just counted out one.
All right, thank you all. I have two people in the queue, Councilwoman Torres and Councilwoman Swear.
Thank you, Madam President. Thank you so much. I was curious about the actual ordinance language. So you referenced something. Is that what's slated to go into the ordinance under, I guess it's kennel license? I'm not sure what you're proposing.
So this isn't my laptop. I don't know if we have actually, Andre, will you bring up the ordinance? It's a pretty short ordinance. It's maybe a quarter of a page. So, but Andre can bring it up. And we can also.
I think all I saw was the PowerPoint.
And certainly we can send this to all council members. But the, let's see, it is Chapter 8, Article 4, Division 1. So 8104, sale of certain animals prohibited by pet shops. I'm not sure, Councilor Torres, I'm not sure.
What's the language you would be adding?
Yeah, it shall be unlawful for a pet shop to sell, deliver, offer for sale, barter, auction, give away, broker, or otherwise transfer or dispose of a dog, cat, or rabbit. That's A. B, shall not be a violation of the subsection A for a pet shop to allow an approved animal adoption or humane organization to display, sell, deliver, offer for sale, barter, auction, give away, broker, otherwise transfer, dispose of a dog, cat, or rabbit on the premises of a pet shop. The third, C, and the final is a pet shop that allows an approved animal adoption or humane organization to all those things of a dog, cat, or rabbit on the premises shall post in a conspicuous location a sign listing the name of the approved animal adoption or humane organization that is operating on the premises.
Okay. So, you had said a minute ago, unweaned or have medical issues. Is that like technical criteria or?
Yeah, we settled on this language. I think specifically the.
So this would prohibit the sale of all dogs, cats, and rabbits in pet stores. I think you were maybe just clarifying common issues that you see, which most pet store puppies are. They technically have to be 8 weeks old before they can cross state lines, but that often doesn't always happen. So I think that was your point about unweaned, is these are really young puppies who've traveled long distances, and that's often when they get sick. And then your second point was it's unweaned, and what was the other part?
Medical issues.
Right, yeah, so again, these puppies are just really have the health deck stacked against them because of where they were born, the conditions, how their mothers have been treated and overbred. Then the long transport. There's actually a whole system called the broker system. So brokers, they have what's called a B license from the USDA. They're these middlemen. Mm-hmm. So they're based, a lot of them, in like Missouri and Iowa and the bigger puppy mill states. Most of the Colorado pet stores actually source from brokers. They buy from hundreds of different commercial breeders, and then the pet stores buy from the broker. So that adds another leg of transport too. So the opportunity for the puppies to get sick when they're commingled with all these other dogs. They also, in the vans, pet stores will return sick puppies to a broker, and those are commingled with puppies that are then dropped off at the next pet store. And so the opportunity for sickness is really enormous. The CDC actually looked into an antibiotic resistant Campylobacter outbreak in pet stores. And they said there's no other supply chain sort of in the whole pet industry except that commercial breeder to pet store. That was an issue with that. And it was because they're constantly pumping them with antibiotics, hoping they don't get sick when they're going through this whole process, again, as 7 to 8 week old puppies who probably shouldn't have been taken from their mothers yet because their immune systems aren't developed. So there is such a huge likelihood of sickness.
Curious what you see, because I imagine some of our shelters receive or are surrendered mm-hmm. dogs that come from these sources. Mm-hmm. Do they get them to a particular level of health before they would transact them to like a pet store that could sell them if it had that partnership?
Well, the shelter wouldn't give them back to the pet store. Is that what you're talking about? Oh, okay, sorry.
Surrenders them to the shelter. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You had mentioned unless they had a partnership with a reputable animal shelter. Is that what I heard?
Oh, so that's the ordinance language clarifies that this doesn't impact pet stores who host adoption events.
Oh, gotcha. So,
like PetSmart, Petco do this, a bunch of the boutique stores around Denver do this. They partner with shelters and rescues, but they don't own those animals. That's not considered a pet shop sale. That's an adoption where they're just kind of using that space to help the public see the adoptable animals. It just clarifies that that's, of course, still allowed.
Got it. Okay.
And if I could just add to that, animals coming into the state have to have a CVI, which is a veterinary and a certificate of inspection, supposedly vouching for the health of the animal. But we've seen cases where one veterinarian will rubber stamp 100 animals in one day. So there's absolutely no way they could have done anything more than a cursory eye examination, you know, just, oh, it looks healthy. So.
And my thought about unweaned animals is if they're less than 8 weeks of age, it's too soon to know if there are genetic or other medical issues because they're just so young. And so there's an advantage of, or there's a shot clock, to use a sports analogy, I guess, of wanting to get the pet into someone's hands and have that financial exchange happen before any of those medical conditions make themselves apparent.
Okay. One of the questions that I had asked Excise and License was how many current licenses are held for pet-related businesses, and they've got 69. Obviously, none of them are categorized as pet shops, but they could be just a kennel, which I assume is like a boarding location. Grooming and hospital are the other three categories. So it was helpful to know just others who have the license where you can opt for the pet shop. But okay, thank you. Thank you, Madam President.
Thank you. Councilman Sir?
Thanks, you guys, so much. I, as you know, feel that this does not go far enough with some of the other problems, but I really appreciate the you know, this language and the kind of narrowness of it just in terms of this problem we're trying to solve, right? I wish that it was a little bit broader to address some of the other challenges that we see with animals. So thank you for your work, and I am supportive of this. I just did have a question about and this might be covered in the state law, right? So I'm thinking back to my briefing on this, which was before the state law passed, I think. Right. But I wanted to just understand, so like there is a fantastic strip mall that's very, very useful and has a bunch of different stores like Ulta and Michaels and King Supers, right? And it's down on Yale and Colorado Boulevard. And pretty regularly outside of the Michaels and PetSmart in the parking lot, they do animal adoptions, right? And they are through the Humane Society, so it's totally regulated. But I guess I want to make sure I understand, is it our law or the state law that then does not allow that to happen anymore?
Well, the state law that just passed, it exempts licensed shelters and rescues.
The state law does too. So right. The Humane Society can still hold adoption events in the parking lot.
Yes.
This.
If you have a state license, you can still do it. Right.
Okay. You're covered under PACFA, which
Denver. I don't know what that is.
Oh, Pet Animal Care Facilities Act. So okay. The Denver Animal Shelter.
Part of the Department of Agriculture.
Regulated by PACFA. Dumb Friendsley, actually Humane Colorado now, is regulated by PACFA.
Okay.
So they have, I don't want to call it an exemption, but it is an exemption.
Okay.
They're not subject to that.
Right. It's the unlicensed, like we see it a lot. Fort Collins actually passed the pets ordinance and the public sales ordinance at the same time because that was before the state had the bill. And there's I actually live in Fort Collins. There was a major problem there with like parking lot sales, and they were actually seeing a lot of breeders from Wyoming coming and selling, and then they would sell sick puppies, and then they take off, and you can never contact them again, and there's major issues. And so that was kind of one example of what that would address, but it's not trying to crack down on the licensed entities that are already, you know, under a bunch of regulations, and that you can find them, right? Like you, if something was wrong with the animal, you can easily find them.
Okay. Yeah. That's great. I really appreciate it. I just needed to like a little clarity around like, because that's not where the state bill started. And so I want to like just make sure I understand where the state bill ended, what that current law is, and then how this law would dovetail with that. So really appreciate that explanation.
They're called puppy slingers are the ones that come in. And so if you Google
I knew there was a name for them, but I couldn't remember what it was. Yeah.
Yeah, it's puppy slingers.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam President. I'm wondering in the ordinance, you said that it would be for stores in particular. Is there any impact that would happen for like the National Western Stock Show? I'm thinking, you know, there's people from all over the country that are bringing their animals to show. I know rabbits are one of the things that are being shown amongst other animals, and often are for sale at the end. Would they not be permitted to sell those animals under this ordinance?
That would still be allowed. This is specific to retail pet stores, which I think is defined as commercial establishments. I don't know the exact, I believe the existing definition you already have in Denver, but it would be that I don't think that would be considered like selling at retail.
So, yeah, because it's usually like individuals or maybe like a specific ranch or something that has possession.
The proposed ordinance does say pet store, so something at the Western Sock Show wouldn't be considered a pet store.
And selling animals that you've bred and raised is not what this addresses either. Like the, you know, these are third party sellers, the pet stores.
Thank you.
Oh, but getting the definition of the, it isn't in the ordinance. I believe it is a definition that already exists, but I'm making a note to get you the definition of what a pet store is.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam President.
Yeah. So to Councilman Torres's point, what section of the DRMC does this go under?
It is Chapter 8, Article 4, Division 1, Section 8104.
Okay, and that's the like Division of Animal Welfare, I'm assuming, since I don't have it in front of me?
I'm not sure. We'll get a legal response.
Jonathan Griffin, Deputy Legislative Counsel. So yeah, this is going to be in a section about kennels, pet grooming, pet shops, and pet hospitals. And to answer Councilwoman Romero Campbell's question earlier, we define pet shop already in the ordinance as pet shop shall mean a retail or wholesale business which is involved in the selling or trading of pet animals. So it wouldn't apply to anything that's happening with Western Stock Show.
Thank you. And so is it excise and licenses who gives out license for pet shops?
Sounded like it was federal. The PACFA, what is?
Oh, that's state.
It is state, okay.
Yeah, PACFA is the state, and they regulate all the pet stores. PACFA regulates groomers, pet stores.
I understand that, but I'm asking on a municipal level. Normally, like a lot of times, you have to have a state and a municipal license. So, Councilmember Hines, what agency would it be, excise and licenses, who would give this type of license out?
I'll have to check. I would start with the Jennifer Animal Shelter and DDPHE, but maybe they don't, you know.
No, I mean, back in the day when we had pet stores that sold pets in Denver, you have to get a license. Who is the agency that regulates that?
I'm not sure, but I will check.
You see him
actually
raising his hand.
Jonathan Griffin, Deputy Legislative Counsel. It's excise and licenses. Yeah.
Okay. So they would be the one who would monitor this if they came in and enforce it?
Jonathan, the excise and licenses handles the licensing. The enforcement, I believe, is done under DDPHE, under their Department of Animal Welfare.
So hypothetically speaking, if, say, someone came in with a proposal for a pet shop, they would have to go to excise and license, and excise and license would be the one who told them it wasn't prohibited?
Correct, yeah. Okay. Excise and licenses would do the initial licensing.
Awesome. Thank you. That answers my question. Okay. Councilman Torres.
If I could follow up on that, from what it looked like is it's a kennel license, and you have different categories under the kennel license of what you're applying for. It could be the categories that I mentioned earlier, pet hospital, grooming, kennel and pet shop. Are you asking, or would this require excise to totally eliminate the pet shop option from that license?
No, they can still operate a pet shop. They just can't directly sell
puppies, kittens, and bunnies.
Correct.
Thank you.
Okay. And if I may, if you look at Petco or PetSmart, they're also selling snakes and guinea pigs and rats and those kind of things, fish. Turtles.
Okay.
Yeah. The way this has, if it's helpful, the way this has, I've seen this work in other cities, is it's generally at the licensing or permitting stage that if a new store wanted to come in and sell puppies, they would be told you can't do that. But like, say an existing store starts selling puppies, then that would probably be animal services or animal control that would cite an existing store for that and say you can't do this. So sometimes it's a bit of a mix, and it sounds like that's how the code reads here, is it kind of depends what stage it's in. But, and we can help with enforcement of that because we get public records from the state, like some of those pictures I have in there. We know that because of the records we get from the state of imports. And so we kind of track that, and we could let Denver know, you know, some business is importing puppies and that seems to be a pet shop. So we can kind of help with that. But I think for the most part, it would be at the licensing level. If someone expressed they wanted to open a store that sold puppies, they would be told at that stage, of course, you can open a pet store in Denver. You just can't sell these three species.
Okay. Thank you.
Seeing no other, what's the next steps, just so that we can all be aware?
So the next steps certainly is to make sure that you have the latest actual language of the ordinance, and I apologize that you don't have that already. And then after that, we would ask your suggestion on where what committee to bring it towards or bring it to. And I'll have to admit that I'm not 100% on the new committees just yet, but probably the one either excise and licenses or maybe even more likely DDPHE reports to. I believe we've gone through five iterations of the ordinance, and I think that we have addressed concerns from colleagues. So I would say it's time to take this to a voting committee.
Okay, sounds great. Just keep us all abreast. Thank you all. Seeing no other action before this committee, we stand adjourned, and I'll see you all at 3:30 at the City Council meeting. Have a good afternoon. Thank you.
Eight 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 six seven.